Hello and welcome to the resurrection of the 1 hour, one topic podcast. I'm your host, Rocky Mountain High. In this episode, we discuss the ending of WWE Raw on November 16th, 2015, where Paige disparaged Charlotte's dead brother. We explore how far is too far in the PG corporate era. What else can they do to extend this angle? And what other possible sensitive topics will they use next? This show was recorded 2 days after Raw aired, when there wasn't much information available. Enjoy the show. So we have all the way from England,
Adam.
Salutations. Good to be here to talk some pro wrestling. I try and keep it PG.
And all the way from Las Vegas, we have Mr. Finn Fish.
What's up, guys? I usually try not to keep it PG, but I guess this ain't my show, so.
And I am your host, Rocky Mountain High, from Colorado. And I'm mostly PG and occasionally slip and fall off the wagon for a bit. Anyway, we're here to discuss the closing segment of Raw, specifically the angle between Charlotte and Paige and the verbal attacks that Paige made against Charlotte's family. And the question is, did they go over the line? Could there have been a better way that they could get the sort of heat that they have generated without potentially causing themselves some heat as a company? Let's go around the horn. Adam, you're the guest of honor. Why don't you tell us what you think about that?
I think it's completely fine. I don't think there is a line. I think it's either all okay or nothing's okay. And when you start trying to censor entertainment, you start playing a very dangerous game. And granted, it's a PG product, so I can understand they wouldn't want to do any effing and blinding and what have you. But I think there's also a real element of hypocrisy here, where the IWC gives the WWE all kinds of stick for using WWE propaganda and revisionist history. And then when they bring up actual real wrestling history in a promo, people get all butthurt about it. And in reality, the only person that has any right to be butthurt and who isn't is Charlotte Flair.
All right. And do we know that she isn't? Do we know her opinion on this?
I read whilst we were on air earlier that it was her idea.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah, I had not heard that. I did listen to Ric Flair's segment on it on his podcast, but I don't remember if he said that whether she felt hurt by that or not. I don't recall. I listened to it kind of late last night.
Yeah, no, I was thinking pretty much the same thing Adam was thinking. But I heard something from the mom, I forget what her name was, that she felt upset. And really, the only two people that can feel upset are, you know, the family, pretty much the parents. That was their kid. And it shouldn't have made, I don't think it should have been brought to light without their permission. But at the same time, WWE is just going to just backpedal anyway and go, you know, we didn't tell them to do this. They did it on their own. But if the mom of you know, Reed Flair, that's who they should have asked. That really hurts her more than anyone. That's whose opinion would matter to me the most. Well, she's not in the business. Her son was breaking into the business and they want to use it for the business. That's not, you know.
Yeah. And just to be clear, they didn't consult Rick either, nor as of his podcast broadcast time, which was about 24 hours after Raw, had they contacted him even after the fact. So he was pretty pissed about that. But at the same time, he said, oh, I'm still going to go to SummerSlam and, you know, this isn't going to kill the relationship with the company and all that. It was interesting. He very clearly felt that this was purely on Vince's shoulders. The Triple H and Steph wouldn't do this. And yet, as upset as he was and the mother was, he's still going to go for it and go for the paycheck, which kind of brings up to me the question of, if Rick was independently wealthy, you know, what would the monetary line be where he would be mad enough to boycott a show or take some action like that? And maybe he's addicted enough to this limelight that there is no line.
I don't think it's a money thing with Ric Flair anymore. I think he needs the wrestling biz more than the wrestling business needs him at this point.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I agree. I think he's completely enamored of the limelight. He can't get away from it. I think he also spends $2 for every one he brings in.
And I think also you can't realistically have to ask Ric Flair and or his ex-wife's permission every time you want to mention his family. A, there aren't enough hours in the day. And B, it's just a completely unreasonable thing to expect. And I think this is someone that does this for a living as well. If you put yourself in the spotlight, expect people to talk smack about you and those around you. And it's just part of the business. I think people getting butthurt need to kind of grow up a little bit and just accept it's part of the business.
Yeah, so on the flip side of that, I agree with you, by the way. I'm a libertarian, and censorship is anathema to me. But this isn't a case, to me, of any sort of government censorship or any mandate. Rather, it goes back to the PG nature. This is a corporate decision where they have to balance off the benefit of the storyline, which, by the way, is huge, at least in the short term. I mean, nobody was interested in this feud before this. No. However, now I think that this real life controversy has overshadowed the kayfabe feud in the ring, and maybe all publicity is good, but I don't think it was their intention. But they can certainly make lemonade out of these lemons if they can. The question is, has it tainted the brand of their potential customers, where they are trying to become respectable and mainstream and PG and all the stuff that the IWC complains about, that they're not edgy enough.
Not one iota.
I get what you're saying, Adam, and I agree with you. But only thing is that the kid committed suicide, right? And that's just a touchy subject on its own. If he would have got hurt any other way, except for explosion or a terrorist attack, I don't think it's fair to even to mention specifically him. She could have said his, like, your brother, he flopped out. He's a nobody, like David Flair. But for to mention someone who committed suicide is different, because they don't say, "I'm going to Chris Benoit your ass." They just go, they don't mention it at all. So,
hey? Yeah, that one person, right?
Yeah, it should have been the same thing, or at least ask them, because I knew about the story, but then once she mentioned it, I'm like, "Which another Flair?" I thought, okay, and I looked it up, and I'm like, the dude died, you know, just like your brother was gonna quit. It's like, damn, that's kind of a little bit mean, but he quit in a way where he killed himself. So it's not like David Flair, where he's a flop. He's a nobody. You could be like your brother, a nobody. No, you could be like your brother and dead.
Yeah, to me, I thought what seemed to hurt Charlotte more was prior to that, just prior to the Reed Flair bit, was talking about the absence of her father growing up, of both of them. I forget exactly what she said, but she basically had to choke out the words that our parents were almost more committed to the business than they were to us, when clearly the facts show that they were much more committed to the business than they were to the children. And that's why there's so many screwed up marriages in that business, which is, you know, well known publicly, but it clearly seemed to really strike a nerve with Charlotte. And I think where that all comes to is Charlotte's a grown woman. And in theory, she has the ability to say no to an angle. But in practice, this is a monopoly business. She's pretty new to it. She's on the end of a great push, and if she says no, this could be effectively the end of her wrestling career, at least the end of one that makes enough money to make a living, which was Ric Flair's point, by the way, as well. He felt that she is not yet senior enough and that she feels she is not yet senior enough to say no. So she pretty much has to say yes to anything they propose. Adam, what do you think about that?
I think she can say no. And let's not forget, her second name, Flair, is as good as currency. Not just in WWE, but in the whole wrestling industry. And the WWE report that it was her idea.
Oh, they do. That's interesting. That's news to me.
Yeah, I read an article about it earlier. And it looks like it would be. It seems like it would be her idea. I can't imagine it's Paige going into business for herself or Triple H coming up with the idea and kind of forcing it home. Because no one's bigger on the We Are PG, Be A Star stuff than Triple H.
Right, right. And Rick agrees. Rick feels that Triple H and Steph definitely have her back, that this would have come from Vince.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's doing its job. And I think also as a big part of wrestling is acting. This is a fact. And to be a convincing actor, you need to go to a real place of personal darkness in order to bring the most out in the character. And that could well be what's going on here. The most believable feuds and the most believable promos are the ones that are sort of true. CM Punk's first pipe bomb, the Matt Hardy, Edge Lita fiasco. And the closer the fiction is to the truth, the better it is for business.
So, Finn, question. I agree. I think nothing could be closer to the bone than this. My concern, as I said before, A, is that the public blowback for this might be rather severe. Adam disagrees with that. But also that this is the biggest bullet they could put in their gun. They will never get a more personal or powerful subject matter for a feud than this. And now they've shot it. And it just seems to me that in a month, this will be over and forgotten. And then what do they do? Was it worth it? What's your thought?
At this point, it has to be worth it because this feud was nothing. Charlotte would cry over anything and everything. So to stop from her just from crying and using rage instead is probably a little bit more worth it. And if they're going to go down this path, then Paige should be using like a little bit more digging more into this. And like, I found your weakness. It is your family is using your family and I'm going to use them to gain that women's championship. So that could be, if they go down that path, which they don't, they might just pull up like they did with the Zeb Coulter, Jack Swagger deal where they had to apologize and then go back into their skit. But I think they already started it. Let's pull it out and let's keep going with it. Just, you know, if Charlotte Flair said yes to the situation, it's too late now. She said yes. You agree to everything now. Everything's open. Let's run with it.
So how do they keep it fresh? Do they get Flair involved in this in some way on camera? Does he get in a beef with Vince? What do you think?
They absolutely get Flair involved. They could do something very similar to what they did with CM Punk and Chris Jericho for WrestleMania. Kind of bring up the fact that Ric Flair has real dependency issues and vices. Bring up the David Flair thing. I think if they've gone in for a penny on this, they need to go in for a pound and do it. You can't unring a bell. And so now this is out there. They might as well just throw it out there as opposed to try and backtrack. Because this is the problem with the internet. That's out there forever now. They can't be like, no, we didn't.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, what this is reminiscent of is the JBL abusing Shawn Michaels feud, that Shawn was kayfabe broke and JBL, you know, forced him into degrading acts of employment and so forth. They can pretty much replay that with Ric Flair, and it's totally believable because we all know he blows all his money.
You have to go in all on it, and Ric Flair might take away from Charlotte, And since Ric Flair doesn't wrestle, you can't pit them in a mixed tag or anything like that. So you could bring in Flair and then he could act like, you know what? You know, I'm done with this. I'm done with this show. I'm boycotting. And then maybe part of the events, he shows up, but he kayfabe is angry still. And at the, you know, as people talk to him at these, at us, you know, all these events that are happening, he could just play it up as an act, as I'm here not because the WWE is here. I'm here for awareness of this act.
You know, and you could even have Charlotte turn on him. And boy, I could certainly see this where she just goes off about how it was all true and he wasn't there for her as a kid. And, you know, who is he to cry these crocodile tears now, you know, 30 years too late? Oh, God. I mean, this could have a lot of juice in it.
Yeah. As long as they don't pull it away from Charlotte, I'm okay with it.
And let's not overlook, this is not the worst thing the WWE has ever done. And I think because it's PG, we've all become a little bit sensitive to what we do and don't want to see. I mean, Finn Fish made a... I'm coming early, it's not like someone got blown up or there was a terrorist attack. Both those things have been done.
Yeah, and also, I'll tell you the one that hits the closest to home on a potentially destructive, you know, kind of personal issue to me. I remember hearing, I believe it was Jake the Snake talking about they had some angle where they were working off his, you know, real life addictions. And, or it might possibly have been Scott Hall. But anyway, whoever it was, they were to tempt him with a glass of whiskey. And instead of putting iced tea in the tumbler, they actually had whiskey in the thing, which was, you know, nobody knew until afterward in this shoot interview. But yeah, that's the kind of thing that seems to me can potentially cause some harm once that comes out where it wasn't really necessary, more so than the Charlotte thing even.
But the Charlotte thing was also already in the public domain.
Right, right. Yeah, in this era, everything's in the public domain, really.
Yes, whereas back then, things like Jake the Snake, Scott Hall, to a lesser extent, Eddie Guerrero, wasn't that well known about. And I think if they'd have done it back then, that's a completely different ballgame and a completely different dynamic.
So one thing that I've been agitating for a couple of years, and Ant the Vigilante and I kind of worked this out a year or so ago, is we would love to see a brand split where they fork off a new brand. They've already forked off a new brand with NXT, which is Triple H's baby and has just taken off like wildfire. But we have long thought that we'd love to see them fork off a more adult brand where this kind of real edgy stuff would be much more tolerated and much less worry about blowback in the one brand fits all PG environment. What do you guys think of that? Let's start with Finn.
I really don't like that idea. Just the fact I watch so much different wrestling and I see one guy from one promotion here. He's this cool dude. And now I watch him in a different promotion and he's someone totally different. Oh, I don't like this version of him in the totally different version. So whatever time his match comes up, I know he's going to do great, but I'd rather watch him in this environment. So with that, with the WWE getting a more racier show, when he goes back to the other show, people are going to expect him to act as cool as he does in the cooler show. But it's not going to happen. So why would I want to watch this lesser show? Even the kids are eventually going to be like, where's this guy at? Oh, I hear he's doing good things up there. He's doing excellent. I don't want this, you know, little weak, wimpy, pimpy show. I want this hard, edgier show. So eventually people are going to just be pulled into that frame. And as you know, WWE, as someone gets popular, they're going to be like, oh, let's push them back down to this little show. So to me, it's two different acts, but it's the same product. So eventually I'm going to be going to the one I like more.
Okay, fair enough. Adam?
I think it's a bad idea for altogether different reasons. There is the element of the whole Jekyll and Hyde personas and it being confusing for the audience. I think it's difficult from a pure product branding perspective. if you've got two shows with the same talent aimed at two different audiences, how do you market that, and how then do you explain it to your shareholders? And I also think for things like Be a Star and for the public face of the WWE, it's not going to do them any favors. And I think they need to slowly kind of test the boundaries of what is PG, which I think this does very, very well. But I think kind of an adult orientated brand, A, that sounds a lot like porn, and B, just not really what they need to be doing in 2015. In 1999, that would have flown like a kite, but now it flies like a brick.
And if they wanted to do this real quick, if you did it with completely new talent, a totally like sort of like NXT, but a whole different talent, like I guess they got evolved. But if they did that something with a new brand of talent, but underneath the WWE umbrella that those people do not get touched, I could go for something like that. But if they took John Cena to this edgier show, it's not going to be something I would be into.
No, I think you're right. I think they could, much like ECW, sort of built with a bunch of unknowns or lesser knowns that were completely not a part of WWE. Yeah, you could build another brand in whatever flavor you want with separate talent. I mean, given, again, that you're kind of the monopoly place, at least the monopoly high-paying place, you can certainly get whoever, almost anybody you need for your roster, your multiple rosters. Getting back to something Adam said about the Be a Star, that's a really interesting point, this whole bullying business. I mean, Paige was the epitome of that here. Does that mean the storyline necessarily has to have Paige get her comeuppance in order to reinforce the anti-bullying message, whether they want to do that or not? Adam, what do you think?
I've always found it a little bit weird that a pro wrestling company has an anti-bullying initiative. On one hand, you've got two kind of fully grown adults in the ring trying to make the other unconscious for 3 seconds or tap out in excruciating pain. And on the other hand, they're going, but for the love of God, be nice to each other. And I think it's a really weird kind of dichotomy. It'd be like kind of UFC having a, flower arranging business on the side. And it's just they don't parallel quite well. And I know it's because they are aiming at a younger audience, and it's just they want to be seen to be doing the right thing, because to every every bad thing that happens, they get a lot of crap. So they need to have good things there to kind of soften the blow a tad. But I don't think the Be a Star campaign necessarily means Paige has to get her comeuppance. I think Paige will lose at Survivor Series, but then I think she'll just start turning the screws tighter and eventually get the title. But it's a very weird position for them to be in. I think they really kind of bound and shackle themselves with things like Be a Star and all their other initiatives. I think the worst thing to happen for the WWE is Linda McMahon getting into politics.
Oh, absolutely, especially as a babyface.
Yeah.
And I totally agree, the whole Be a Star thing. When I think back to heels like Mad Dog Vachon, and if he would have had to not be a bully, I mean, that's his whole gimmick, right? That whole era was defined. The heels were defined as bullies for the most part. Finn, what do you think?
I like the Be a Star campaign. I've never been to, you know, one of their events or anything like that. I don't know what they truly tell the kid, but maybe after the events, if they did say like, be a star, you know, but in this stage and arena, we are portraying bad people. So you don't have to be like those bad people. And this is what happens to bad people when they do bad things. I can understand that. But on the commercials I see, they don't show any of that stuff. So I don't really know. But I think the Be a Star campaign is pretty good. They need more shirts and more advertisement for it, as in merchandise. Because I wouldn't mind having a Be a Star shirt other than any other wrestler. They should have more they should put it out there more, but portray it as, but on our show, we're going to show you something that might not be a star, but the person is going to fight to be better than that.
That's a really great point. That is an opportunity, isn't it? A marketing thing, especially for kids. And on the other side of it, to what Adam was saying, you know, it seems like there's room for maybe another company that's not part of Be A Star, that is the heel company, you know, that has the older-fashioned, really nasty heels and, you know, the more believable, I guess, immersive kind of stuff. I don't think it could come from WWE. The irony I find with Be A Star is everyone will tell you the biggest bully in the company is Vince McMahon. It's kind of like the wellness policy. You know, nobody can do roids except 69-year-old Vince McMahon looks like Hercules on the cover of Men's Fitness. But I guess that kind of thing doesn't change.
And the real big thing to me with Be A Star is it is sort of like with the NBA and the NFL. They have their own side projects. And even with the NFL, they had the breast cancer awareness thing. Now the WWE has it. The NFL has, like, reading is learning and stuff like that, or that's the NBA, but they have their own separate campaign. Now the WWE has their own campaign, as they're just following the acts of the more popular sports, which should happen if they want to be in the mainstream. But at the same time, I think maybe being a star, they could switch it. If they're going to keep with the model, keep it, but maybe don't be a bully, be something else. Try to market it where we're going to show you violence, but we're going to we have to tell you that it's not real.
Yeah, it's really – it's completely dependent on lifting the curtain, you know.
Yeah.
Just completely abandoning the old days of confusing the audience and making them think it's real.
Yeah, this ultimately, if you strip this straight back, this all comes down to an individual's ability to distinguish – between reality and fiction. I've got nothing against suspending your disbelief and buying in, but ultimately we all need to take a step back and realize that this is entertainment. This is, to all intents and purposes, and sorry to sound like Dana White on this, fake.
Yeah, as they expand into India and China and other cultures, I wonder if that translates into those cultures. I don't know enough about other worldwide cultures to know if the whole Be A Star and all that.
They need to have done their research so much before they go into other countries. And I'm almost certain they have. But my point here is, if they're back in the UK in December for NXT and Paige goes to Charlotte, oh, you're such a cow, and slaps her, that's great. If you do that in India, oh my word, that is not going to work.
Yeah, no kidding.
You'll get the complete wrong kind. The only heat you'll be getting will be the one when they set you on fire.
You know what? It would be nice. Okay, they have these, you know, the situation. Now, I don't know what David Flair is doing at all. Maybe we could bring him in. We team him up with his sister to fight against Paige and whoever and whatnot. You know, I might not be in the wrestling business, but that was not nice to do. That was my brother. And maybe if you start bringing and adding people into this feud and then having a big blow off at the Royal Rumble, you know, pay-per-view no one really cares about anyway, the under matches either way, that would be something I would want to see. But it's too late now. No one minds, no one cares. When I first heard the news, it didn't bother me. Until I really read up, the man killed himself. That's what got to me really about the situation. But if she's, like I said, if she signed off, then that's on her. It's too late now. But let's grow on it. Let's keep it going. Let's, you know, might as well just roll the ball and just let it keep rolling until it eventually dies down on its own. But you can't just stop it. Then the people would know, you know, then that makes us know that we can control what the WWE puts out there. And if something gets not even offensive, if they even just said a word that it's not even offensive at all, and we go, that's offensive now. The WWE like, oh, okay, well, we're not going to do it no more. So they can't fall back. They got to just keep pushing and then just pushing us out of the way and to finish this storyline.
Yeah, and in fact, you know, they can make this thing really great. Look at the Montreal Screwjob. Everyone was so pissed at that, and they parlayed it into, you know, the evil Mr. McMahon. It was one of the best storylines ever. And maybe this is the resurrection of the evil Mr. McMahon. I don't know if he's ready to get back on camera, but this would be the opportunity. Adam, what do you think?
This could be really good. And I think just because something's tough to talk about or tough to discuss or might upset a few people, it doesn't mean that you don't do it. I've always wholeheartedly believed that political correctness can sometimes be the enemy of progress. And if a few people get upset, but A, we highlight something like suicide by bringing it up in a way that's a bit edgy, and also advance women's wrestling, then I'll happily have a few people get upset.
Now, do you think, is there any possibility that we could get Shane McMahon as a surprise entrant at or a surprise appearance at WrestleMania or some other event and work him into this angle?
None at all. None at all. I think Shane is acutely aware that he's not getting the company when Dad dies, and so is forging his own path elsewhere.
Yeah, it just seems like that same kind of resentment of Dad's single-minded pursuit of the corporation versus the kids. It seems tailor-made if he wanted to step into it.
It could work. I just don't think it will happen.
Well, and part of it's my yearning to see Shane again. I really miss the guy.
I also miss the guy. Oh, what can I jump off? Yes.
Yeah, amazing talent that is Shane. I think with Shane, to even if he came back, I don't think it would be for WWE. I think the reason he left was, you know, just didn't like it. But maybe he didn't like the politics that they were doing already. And now, even if they're PG, it seems that he doesn't want to be part of it. So, you know, it has to be just something with the direction that they're going. Maybe he liked it more edgier. I don't know. But maybe he liked it more edgier. Maybe he was into that. Now he knew, seen the path of what's happening, and that's why he left. But maybe the storyline could bring him back, and he could come in as, you know, this is the stuff I like. This is what I wanted to see. But that's a far shot in anyway.
Well, you know, so to kind of circle back to the original premise here of this hour, which is, you know, have they crossed the line? Have they gotten too offensive? Just thinking back to that time period, I know the one storyline that really, really got people upset for a while was the Undertaker getting with his big symbol that was like a cross, and they crucified somebody on the cross, and it really upset a lot of religious people at the time. Is that a fertile area to explore next? You know, you've always got to kind of ratchet up, it seems. And once you've gone down this tunnel and exhausted the Flair family drama for however much juice you can get out of that, is that where you go next? Some sort of religious angle or some other sensitive?
I think you go all in and bring back Mohammed Hassan. Just all in. Just be like, if we can pull this off, we can do anything and bring back Mohammed Hassan.
Well, yeah, and that whole storyline would go over much better than this rehashed Cold War Bulgarian brute business, and even the Mex America. Both of those things have just completely fizzled, in my opinion.
That Mex America is dying on its ass. It's so bad.
Yeah, it just reeks of desperation. And these guys are great talents, but boy, they got to come up with another angle. And something controversial. I'm sure they were hoping for it with the open border thing, especially in light of the Donald Trump political campaign and, you know, try to exploit all this division. But boy, it's just going nowhere.
Why aren't they using Donald Trump? Vince is friends with him. He'll do anything to get on TV.
Oh my God, he's in the Hall of Fame.
You can't use him on TV unless you use the other candidate. It's publicity. So
is that the thing?
Yeah, when you're running for office, you got to give everyone a fair amount of time on your show. You can't just have just one person.
You know, there's three political figures, fairly prominent ones, that are in the news a lot now. There's him, of course. There's Jesse Ventura, another Hall of Fame member, who has openly stated he'd like to run for VP with Trump. And then one of the other guys, I can't remember if it was Cruz or Rubio or who, used to be a lobbyist for WWE back in the steroid scandal period. So there's all this untapped publicity that must just be killing Vince to not be able to use it. And controversy.
Man, they used a fake Donald Trump before. They could do it again.
Yeah.
Didn't they use a fake Obama and a fake Hillary Clinton years ago?
Yeah. I know Obama. I think, yeah.
That was amazing. Yeah, because the Clintons came out to hold Hulk Hogan stuff, and Obama came out and did the Rocks thing. And, yeah. They were quite convincing lookalikes. I thought they were real. And that's what happens when you watch Raw a little bit drunk.
Well, plus you're in another country, so you're not probably seeing them as often as we are, which is constantly 24/7. But I'll tell you what. So thinking about other heat angles, potentially offensive, you know, did we cross the line kind of thing. Finn, what do you think? We've got all this Black Lives Matter stuff. There's all of this heat. Racial heat in the United States right now. Do they go there? Can they go there? How would they go there to create an angle that puts some asses in some seats?
The problem is, if they could create an angle, the problem with the angle is they're not going to push anyone far enough to get far in the angle. Who are they going to push? Kofi Kingston? They're not going to get that far. Big E, they have to bring up Apollo Crews, someone who they haven't tainted yet for that style of angle. And then the other hand on the angle is if they do so, then all the black competitors have to be a part of the angle. You can't just have R-Truth run out there for a match and not realize that this is going on. I mean,
it's another Nation of Domination thing, basically.
I mean, they don't have to be a group, but he has to at least acknowledge that the fact that he's not a part of this or he is a part of it. He can't just go out there and lose a match and then walk to the back. He has to go, you know, I'm not a part of this. That's their mission. This is my mission. And leave. So it doesn't seem like this black dude is just not caring about what's going on. He has to, you know, show that he doesn't care. Not we presume he doesn't care. And they could do an angle like that, but what's the end game? You're going to win the U.S. title? Well, you gotta be elevated higher than that, and they're not even elevating the black star either way. So they could do the angle, but the talent they have, they can't pull the angle off.
Yeah, they got nobody in the wings for that. I'll tell you the other lemons to lemonade storyline that they could have possibly exploited along these lines was when ADR slapped that guy who insulted him in the back, what, 2 years ago or 1 year ago? That's when they canned him, right? Now he's back. Man, it seems like that's something they could have pushed, but for whatever reason, they didn't. Adam, what do you think?
They missed a real opportunity with ADR. And I would have let him go, but I'd have only let him go for, what, 3 months and would have always brought him back. And I think that would have been a lot better than what he's doing now. I think with regards to the black competitors, they do have UHA Nation waiting in the wings, who really impressed me recently with his match against Finn Balor. But it's just such a weird dichotomy. I think when you kind of do race for race's sake, it would come across really, really forced, and it's a weird one.
Well, and any of these things have to be believable, right? That's what makes the whole Charlotte controversy matter, is that it's believable that she was really hurt. And if you're going to do a racial angle, it's got to be believable that someone's really mad, really hurt, really held down, whatever. And that's where the ADR thing you know, clearly he was, right? He wouldn't hit the guy if he wasn't really pissed.
Yeah. Would have paid off, like, knowing. And then he did the whole WWE's racist press campaign. And if he'd have done that while still under contract and wrestling there under duress, if he'd have done kind of, I hate them, they're racist, it's a pleasure to take their money, that would have been amazing.
Man, that would be so much better than the thing he's doing with Zeb now. He's almost like this sort of no personality mercenary in there at the minute. Gosh, it seems like they ought to be able to somehow work that angle.
I mean, I don't see where this angle is leading to. I mean, you know me, I'm very creative, and it's like this angle just pulls me right when I get into this angle, I just leave. It's like I don't even want to think of what could possibly happen at the current pace that they're going, because it's just going to end in a flop. They got to do something drastic, and they got to do something now, because this whole ADR thing, I'm a big fan of ADR, a big fan of Lucha Wrestling, but this is just garbage to me. This is worthless. I don't even spend my time to even watch this angle. When he comes out and talks, I don't watch much Raw as it is. I definitely turn because I don't care to hear from Mexamerica. If you're not beating up Zeb Coulter, if you ain't beating up on Jack Swagger, I really don't care. Why are you guys teamed up to make a better nation? There are only two people in this deal. You're going to bring in some more people? You're going to bring in a Canadian? What are you going to do? If you're going to do it, let's do it. You already got the U.S. title. You got some hardware. You need some people behind you. It's just those two. And Jeff Coulter does nothing when he comes down to the ring. He's not even, you know, interfering in the match. He's not doing it.
And nobody's laying a finger on him. He's helpless in that cart. They won't even acknowledge the cart. They don't acknowledge the whatever medical thing is going on. It's the elephant in the room. And you think back to when Conan and the LAX were doing the whole racist thing and ranting and raving, and that sounded pretty shoot. And then he was in the wheelchair, and that was equally absurd because he was raising hell and nobody was laying a finger on him either. I just don't think it works to have a guy, especially an old guy, in some kind of a wheelchair. I just can't see that working at all.
Yeah, how you gonna come help the guy when you barely could, you know, roll yourself to the ring?
The only way it can work is if the heels come to attack him, and then a bunch of heroic baby faces somehow defend him. But how long can you do that?
Aren't they heels already?
What if he's faking it?
If he's faking it, he needs to show signs of faking it. Maybe backstage,
it's he stands been up. Too long.
Yeah. Hey, how'd you get that water from down there? Oh no, someone came in. Something, you know, slight enough where we think, did he get up? Something moves or something's in a different spot. You know, I had to use the restroom. Oh, there's no handicap stall. How did you? Something where it's slight and we keep building it up. I can stand up, I just can't walk very far. Something where we can believe it, not just out of the blue. He just starts bolting his way down to the rings like, yeah, dude, you're faking it. At least let us build a storyline where we could think you're hurt.
But and maybe he's got the brass knuckles in the cart that he slips to his man or whatever, you know, something.
Yeah.
They just need to get this whole thing can be saved by a good feud. And I think you need like a rough redneck American to feud with him, not Jack Swagger with his Ellen DeGeneres haircut. I say bring up James Storm straight away.
Yeah, you know, one thing we haven't had in a long time is any sort of Canadian heat, and maybe that's too forced because there is no real heat between Americans and Canadians. But they desperately need the Hispanic demographic. It seems to me if they're going to go in a racial direction, they need to go there. Get some heat, get some interest, get a real badass faction in and get something going.
But then it just has to be like another LAX. The last thing I want to see is your stereotypical angry Mexicans who are just like, yeah, burn the flag, SC. And it has to be, like you say, believable.
Yeah, it could go the other way. The Mexicans could be the heel or the baby faces who are being, you know, the rednecks or the heels or something like that.
Well, I think it's very easy for Luchasaurus to get over simply because the style is so good to watch.
Oh, God, yeah. It's so entertaining even without an angle.
So, kind of, yeah, so just get over on that. Be the guys that kind of come to the ring, clean up and leave. Picture kind of the Filthy Animals mixed with the Shield.
The only problem with, you know, like I said, you know me, I'm real big into Lucha. The only problem with bringing in Lucha stars is that Lucha would take the WWE by storm. They don't want that. They don't want, they'll bring in some Lucha people, but not a lot, because it pulls away from their main events. Where in Lucha, it didn't matter what place you have on a card, you're still going to do your moves. WWE, you know they're going to scale these guys all the way down. They're not going to be doing all the high flying. They're not going to be doing the no tags in and no tags out. This is going to be the WWE style, so they'll pull away from John Cena and the rest of the people. So,
and that's the angle. That is the angle. You have Lucha guys come in and say, try and strip back our moveset. Ain't going to happen. We'll be back. And then they come and just take out John Cena and just go all in on the Lucha moves.
I mean, and you know, even in Lucha, even the heels do high spots. Even the heels do high-flying moves. So it's not like it's just the faces. So everyone does a high-flying move. And then what you're saying could be exactly correct. Like, this move is banned in this country. I don't care anymore. And he still hits it, wherever the 450 or whatever move. They could start banning some of these Lucha moves, and this is what they're fighting for. We want to do our moves, not the moves you give us, which would make a great story.
I think that story is great. I don't think it requires any edgy kind of racial heat. I think it's more a conflict of wrestling styles. Do you think it's necessary or desirable to add in any kind of racist element to that?
I think if you just said moves were banned or types of styles were banned, you could start to get away from it. This is why we don't do this move. It's been banned for this long. Or like when Taz came in, his submission was a choke. Oh, that move's banned, but it got over. People, you know, in the WWE, it's already been over, but and then he couldn't use it. Well, he still kept using it.
And
that was an angle.
You could have the evil authority selectively imposing new arbitrary rules to handicap the Mexican wrestlers to prevent them from getting over. Be another evil authority type of angle, but with a racist twist to it.
Like, I mean, I know a few people jump over the top ropes, but you couldn't dive in between the ropes. Something like that. I mean, you know, Dean Ambrose dives in between the ropes and then Roman Reigns dives over. But maybe something like that effect where you got to stop a particular move from happening or you get disqualified. And they don't care. They just want to put on a good show.
I like that.
Yeah, I like that too. Well, look, guys, we're an hour in. Why don't we go ahead and wrap this up? Why don't we just have a closing statement where Charlotte, the whole Charlotte angle ought to go from here? Just kind of summarize what you guys think of that angle, and was it a good idea, bad idea? If they have a similar opportunity like that, should they do it again? Adam?
Always, always take risks. Political correctness is the enemy of progress. I don't know where this is going to go, but the last thing they need to be doing now is apologizing. You can't unring the bell, take it, run with it. It was an amazing brawl. Paige's boobs nearly fell out. So if you keep this feud going, maybe they will fall out winning.
Man after my own heart. Finn?
Charlotte should just come out. No more tears. No more flares. It's just me. I'm going to beat you down, and I'm going to cry about it later. And just come out more aggressive, not whining, not talking. Just here to punch you in the face and shut you up for what the things you have said. And you will never say them again because I'm going to stop you from saying those things.
All right. And I'm thinking you guys have actually changed my mind. I was thinking it was unnecessary and they could have gone another way. But thinking about it in our discussion, I've come to the conclusion that they can run this a long, long way by reintroducing Ric Flair and getting some sort of personal feud between him and Vince McMahon. And getting those two guys back, not in the ring, but in some sort of verbal competition, I think that could go a long way, build a lot of heat. Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate this. This has been our first one-hour, one-topic, my first one ever, and the first one on the AWWIR-affiliated networks for a very long time.
So I look forward to doing this again another time. Adam, absolutely. How can we reach you?
So you can grab me on Twitter at Adam_Pearson. If you Google me, you can find my back catalogue of work. On Facebook, Adam Pearson as well, because that's my name. And I'm in Los Angeles in February. So any TI peeps who are in LA, hit me up on Twitter and we'll get our blue moon on.
Finn, how do we get a hold of you?
You can find me on Twitter at FinnFishSCU. I'm on the Heavy Hitter Network. I have my own show called Lou Chat, where I chat all about Lucha Underground. And that's pretty much it.
All right. And I am Rocky Mountain High. You can hear me or skip me on the Weekend Review podcast. And you can get a hold of me on Twitter at RMTNHIGH. Thanks, everybody.